Welcome back to On the Green Front, and it is that time in the show where we have our Sustainable Life Media guest talking to someone who is a featured speaker at the Sustainable Brands upcoming conference, the end of May, early June, and that is Marcy Zaroff. She is the CEO and founder of Under the Canopy. You will be there, correct, Marcy?
That's correct. I'm looking forward to it.
And before we get into what you'll be speaking about, you just came back from a huge event in Los Angeles, the Natural Products Expo show. I heard there were some 37,000 ecomaniacs there. Well, maybe we can't call them all ecomaniacs, but they were green-leaning, or at least natural-leaning. That's phenomenal, especially during this, as I'm calling it, de-session period.
Yeah, well, you know, you would never know there was a recession going on. It was a very encouraging turnout, a lot of momentum, incredible buzz, great energy, and the feeling was that the natural industry is still growing despite what's going on out there, which just demonstrates that there's a loyalty and a growing momentum in that sector.
And you actually started out in food, and you moved to fabrics and fashion. Tell us a little bit about that and what your vision for Under the Canopy was, 10 years or so ago?
Almost 14 years ago. When I started, you know, and if you said the, you know, ecology or wellness and fashion in the same sentence, people certainly used to look at me like I was crazy. They were somewhat paradoxical. And so in order to make the transition into the consumer and, you know, for the consumer and into their eyes and their minds and their heads and to have them embrace the concept, it was really natural to make the transition from food into fiber because they'd begun embracing organic and natural food as something that made sense. And so the roots of Under the Canopy really were birthed from the organic natural food world where I had spent almost a decade and demonstrating that, you know, textiles, clothing, bedding, whatnot, that are made organically and sustainably are yet another vehicle to ultimately tell the same story, to give people choice and demonstrate that the, you know, natural or, you know, ecological, social, and environmentally responsible products are not mutually exclusive with, you know, style, taste, color, fit, you know, and in the case of food, you know, it's obviously aesthetics. In the case of apparel, clearly same thing, that, you know, the whole philosophy under the canopy from the beginning was giving people clothing and bedding that looks great but also feels great and that's good for them. And so, you know, to tell that story sort of naturally evolved from food.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your words. I just wondered, is it getting more affordable to buy organic cotton or bamboo or hempware?
In the early years, there were no fabrics on the market, so we had to develop, and anytime you're, you know, at the ground floor of development, the costs are higher. But over time, and now that there's a lot more, you know, people jumping into the marketplace, the economies of scale have grown, and resources are more readily available, and so prices have, you know, gone down as supply has grown and demand has grown. And we've always, at Under the Canopy, had the philosophy of value and values, and so affordability has always been a part of our core mission. And so because we're vertically integrated and we build our products all the way from the farm to the finished product without any middlemen, we've always had the ability to offer products into the market that are competitive with conventional products.
And when I was speaking to Zem earlier in the program, we touched on cotton and organic cotton as an alternative. I know you're sort of an expert in that area, and it really is worth drilling down a little bit more because the numbers are astonishing to me. One, just the numbers, the amount of resources, including water and pesticides that it takes to, you know, just, you know, manufacture a piece of cotton clothing. And then secondly, despite the growth of organic cotton, it feels like, you know, it should be more prevalent than it is. It is growing, but it, like organic food, it's still only, what, 1%, 2%, or 3% of the overall supply?
Yeah, well, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. I mean, it clearly has been growing. In fact, this year, cotton, certified organic cotton supplies have grown by 95%. Sales this year in organic cotton have grown over 33% and are expected, you know, this year to exceed $4 billion in sales. And, you know, in 2002 when I started, when I started doing wholesale, I'd already been doing a catalog, sales were $200 million in organic cotton product. So, you know, we've come a really long way. There's certainly a long way to go. But, you know, it's catching on where people are recognizing that it's not about why would I buy organic fiber. It's about why wouldn't I buy organic fiber? Because, again, as long as the value is there and the price is competitive and the quality, styling, color, fit, and all the other qualities are there for the consumer, then you take that, you know, you take that question mark away from, you know, why would I want to do this? And people feel good about it, and then they come back and continue to build on their wardrobe or whatever home products they're buying, buying more and more organic because it feels like the right thing to do.
How difficult is it and how much help is there now for cotton farmers to make the transition to going pesticide-free?
Well, it's certainly a lot easier than it used to be. There's an organization called the Organic Exchange that I'm on the board of that has been very proactive on a global level working with farmers and farm projects, helping cultivate them. And so there are now over 100,000 organic cotton farmers growing in over 24 different countries. And it's, you know, it, there's a lot of resources and support systems in place, a lot of funding that's gone on worldwide to support, you know, farmers to make this transition. And farmers are seeing that it's actually, in the end, more sustainable for them financially as well as physically, personally, and from a health standpoint. And so they're spreading the word. And as they spread the word, more people are jumping on board. And so it's, from a social standpoint, in addition to the pesticide issue, there are a lot of reasons why farmers are embracing this. For instance, you know, a lot of people don't know, every half an hour in India, there's a suicide by a cotton farmer, a conventional cotton farmer, because the paradigm just isn't working anymore, and they've been trapped on this pesticide treadmill, ultimately leading to, you know, to despair, because they've destroyed their crops, and they've killed the soil, and they can't afford the pesticides, and they're leveraging their farms to afford the pesticides, and they just get trapped, and so they're ending up drinking pesticides to sort of make a statement, and it's a devastating situation that's happening. So this kind of goes beyond just the poisons of the pesticides and the fact that, you know, that the products that we're buying, you know, people's lives are being affected every day.
We just have a couple minutes left, Marcy, and
sure.
Since this is the Green Front, and I love interviewing people like you who are truly on the leading green edge, what's the latest thinking on bamboo?
You know, bamboo is obviously a really controversial topic. You know, I've done a lot of research into it. Bamboo has the potential to be an incredibly sustainable fiber or fabric in the end. But right now, the fiber itself is a grass. It grows very quickly, and it's grown without pesticides, so it's great. The problem today is the manufacturing methods. The manufacturing of bamboo today takes a tremendous amount of energy, water, and chemicals to break down the bamboo into the textile. And so at the end of the day, even though the fiber itself is considered sustainable, the final fabric isn't. And so there are alternatives to bamboo that are much more, quote, eco-friendly or green.
What about embedding? Because I happen to be a fan of my bamboo sheets, and when I bought them, I didn't know all this, and I guess maybe just as well, sometimes ignorance is bliss, because I thought it was the greatest thing since, you know, the proverbial sliced bread.
Yeah, well, bamboo, you know, sort of came out of the gate and almost immediately catapulted into the mainstream as this kind of poster child for eco-friendly textiles, because the sensibility of bamboo, you know, as you said, you love your bamboo. You know, bamboo has always represented this, you know, sort of Eastern sensibility, very calm and serene and soft. It's got an incredible hand, and it's very luscious and luxurious. But, you know, as I said, you know, when you kind of pull the curtain back, until such time that we can create and innovate more, you know, with more sustainable technologies, which are possible. In fact, I'm working with some organizations that are on this front. You know, there are better choices to make.
Okay, we're running out of time. There's always so much to talk about. I want to thank you, Marcy Zaroff, and we'll see you at Sustainable Brands 09. Hope you all will join us in Monterey. It's a great conference. You learn a lot. You laugh a lot. Hope you'll be there. I want to thank our sponsors, Sustainable Life Media and GreenWorks Cleaning Products and Mighty Leaf Tea, for supporting this program. We'll see you next time.